Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will look into God's Word. Dear God, I thank you just for the power of your Word. Thank you that your Word gives us help, it gives us strength, and it gives us encouragement when we need it most. And I pray that you would use your Word in a powerful way to be able to encourage us, help us, and to show us that we need to be relying on you. And God, so often when we are busy with ministry, we forget our purpose for ministry. We forget why we do what we do. But tonight, help us to find that vision. Help us to find that purpose that we might be able to know of your goodness to us. We might be able to know the source of our strength and of our help. And we look to you for that. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Tonight, I want us to consider a question. How can God use you as an encouragement and a help in the body of Christ? Maybe it's a question that you've thought of. Maybe it's a question that you haven't really thought much of, how God could use you, how God could use you to help and encourage others, provide a real source of strength in someone else's life. But tonight we'll look at someone who was able to come alongside another minister of the gospel and provide timely help and strength and encouragement. I can remember early on in my college years going out to an outreach ministry. We were there for the day on Saturday, and we were going, and we had a Bible teaching time. And then right after that Bible teaching time, we were able to meet with several of the kids in the community. We met with them to be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ and just encourage them a little bit more about the lessons that we had been teaching. I was pretty new to just coming alongside those kids and being able to talk to them and being able to encourage them. And at that point in ministry, I just really wasn't an encouragement. I couldn't really get through. I couldn't really have a good conversation. I couldn't really draw in the gospel in the way that I wanted to. And God really used that as somewhat of a turning point to really solidify why I was doing ministry. Because after that, I felt just frustrated. I felt disappointed that I wasn't able to provide help. I wasn't able to provide encouragement. And certainly, as we are about to look at our text in a few minutes, in a little while, we'll look at our text. But the Apostle Paul here is someone who is tired of ministry now at this point. He is tired, he's frustrated, he is depressed. He's probably wondering why he is continuing on in ministry to the point where he is right now. So what keeps you committed in ministry? Paul was a great apostle, but the ministry at Corinth got to be so much that he was physically exhausted. He felt like he couldn't really minister again. He was at the point of spiritual depression. He had so many burdens, so many cares and concerns for pouring his life into the ministry. So where would he go? Where would he go for help? Where would he go for encouragement? This is the Apostle Paul, who had written so many powerful and great letters that we use today for help and encouragement. But where would the Apostle go for Apostle Paul go for strength and help and encouragement? You know, maybe tonight you're wondering where you're going to go for help and encouragement. Maybe you're wondering, how can God use me, again, to be able to help and encourage others? How can I provide strength for someone else? How can I provide grace and help and encouragement at just the right time? So a lot of times when we're going through these times of exhaustion, we're going and we're busy in ministry and we're frustrated, we're discouraged, and we're down, we look to ourselves. We look to ourselves to be able to find the answer. But God had a way of working in the life of the Apostle Paul of showing that it was God's strength that was going to be able to make it through for Paul. That if Paul needed to be successful in ministry, it was only by the grace of God that his grace and his strength would be perfect in the weakness of the Apostle Paul. It was only the strength of God, it was only the grace of God that could continue the Apostle Paul in ministry and allow him to be able to be an effective minister of the gospel. Certainly God was able to use himself and his word to be able to bring strength and comfort and encouragement to Paul. But the beauty of this passage is that God was able to bring another willing servant of the gospel alongside the Apostle Paul to, again, just provide that timely help, comfort, and encouragement through the life of the Apostle Paul. And God wants to use you in the same way. God wants to use you to be able to come alongside of others, to be able to help, to provide strength and comfort at just the right time. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll start in verse 2. It says, "Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you, Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. The title that I want to give to tonight's message is The Effective Power of Encouragement. The Effective Power of Encouragement. And again, maybe this is something where you don't really know how best to be able to encourage and to help others, but by looking at the Apostle Paul, by looking at Titus and his life and his ministry, certainly we can find a good understanding of help and encouragement through this. The first point I want us to see is that Paul encouraged the church. We see this in verses 2 through 4, that Paul encouraged the church. Paul starts off this chapter by urging the believers to join in the fellowship with those who were giving the gospel to them. Paul and his friends that were ministering to the church at Corinth had in no way wronged this church. And Paul is wondering, you know, why can't this church show this love? Why can't this church be ministering to others and those in position of ministry? Why can't they just accept others? Why can't they pour out love? Why can't they pour out encouragement to others within the church? And Paul was trying to communicate to these believers that they needed genuine accountability and fellowship. Now, these believers needed time with other believers to be able to sharpen them, to encourage them and come alongside them and really teach them and really apply the truths that God had been teaching them in their own lives. If Paul stressed the need of fellowship back in his day, to be able to say, hey, you need to come alongside, you need to be together, you need to have times where you're sharing the word of God, where you're sharing what God is working in your life and in your heart about, and certainly we need that. We need that time of accountability, we need that time of fellowship, coming alongside one another, asking how God is working, sharing with each other the lessons and the stories of how God is working in our lives, convicting us of sin, drawing us closer to him. So certainly if it was a need in Paul's time to be able to have that fellowship and that accountability, we need that time of sharing with one another, taking time to be able to encourage and tell what the Lord is doing in our lives. Paul showed a compassion and love for these believers, so much so that Paul said he was willing to give his very life in place of these people if it ever came to that point, where if it was his life or their lives, that Paul was saying gladly he would take their place, gladly he would step in and be able to even die for them. That's how serious Paul is for this ministry, and that's the type of love, concern, and care that he's showing. Paul boasted openly of this church, yet there seemed to remain a lack of trust among this church to the Apostle Paul. But Paul would remain loyal to this church. He would speak good about this church to all his people. You didn't see Paul going around to other people and saying, man, that church of Corinth is a mess. They have so many problems. They have so many issues. They have so many things that they need to get right with. There's so much sin. They're just a lost cause. There's no point in staying with that ministry. There's no point in investing in them. Paul was able to find hope. He was able to find encouragement. And he was able to stay confident about God, what God wanted to do for the ministry at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Matthew Henry comments on the faithfulness of God by saying, he who hath brought us into near and dear relation to Christ, into sweet and intimate communion with Christ, is faithful. He may be trusted with our dearest concerns. Those that come at his call shall never be disappointed in their hopes in him. If we approve ourselves faithful to God, we shall never find him unfaithful to us. And now we see just a change in the encouragement there. We've seen that Paul was able to come alongside, remain hopeful and confident in these believers at Corinth. But now we see that Titus is able to come, and he's able to encourage Paul. Paul mentions here in the text that he had no rest or relief. Here Paul is anxious, he is worried, and he is depressed. And you might think, well, why is Paul feeling this way? Why is he suddenly feeling so anxious and worried and depressed? Where are these emotions coming from in the life of Paul? Paul said he had his disputes in Macedonia, and Paul is going to send Titus to deliver this letter to the church at Corinth, and he's waiting for this response. You can imagine, you know, Paul and thinking through, how is the church going to go and receive this letter? You know, what's going to be their response? What's going to be their attitude as they go and receive this letter? Would they receive Titus? We know they had a problem in going with receiving this authority. How would they take in Titus? Would they just remove Titus away and say they didn't want to know part of Titus and they didn't want this letter and they didn't want others to come in and encourage and really point them to Jesus Christ? So I'm sure Paul here is discouraged. He's skeptical and maybe not sure how the believers are going to take this message of hope. Paul was diligently working and serving the Lord, and that led to fatigue. And now we see that fatigue is really setting in just a bit deeper into the life of the Apostle Paul. He's now feeling a discouragement and now going into a state of spiritual depression as he is going and laboring over this ministry at Corinth. We find an Old Testament example of one who was facing discouragement, one who was facing depression. We find that in the prophet Elijah. In the Old Testament, we see Elijah was able to be used by God in a very strong and powerful way, so much so that the hand of God was on him, and he was able to go against the prophets of Baal. And we know that story about how Elijah openly mocks the false prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Baal. They go and they build those two altars, and Elijah just gives every excuse in the book for why these false gods aren't showing up. You know, maybe they went on vacation. Maybe they're asleep. Maybe they just left you for a little bit and they're going to come back and they're just gone for some apparent reason. And here we find that Elijah is able to have an incredible victory over these prophets. He is able to have a faith and a confidence in God. And this altar that Elijah goes and makes before God is literally vanquished. And there's nothing left of this altar. But then after that great victory, after that great triumph, is where there's discouragement in the life of Elijah. And that's often where we face discouragement, where we face the enemy coming in to attack us. It's after a moment of great success and great victory in our spiritual life, when we least expect an attack to come. That's when the enemy likes to strike. That's when Satan likes to come in. He likes to tempt us. He likes to get our mind on anything but that victory that we just had, anything but that spiritual success that we were able to enjoy. And here we have, after this victory, that Jezebel threatens the very life of Elijah. And it causes Elijah to be able to run in the exact opposite direction of serving the Lord. He runs away. He runs into the wilderness. He runs far from what God wants him to do as a prophet. And Elijah throws himself just his own pity party. He says, God, there's no one here to be able to go and minister alongside of me. There's no hope. There's no confidence in serving God and living for God. There's no point in that anymore. I'm the only one that you've left here on earth to be able to minister, to be able to preach to others about Jesus Christ. And Elijah just says it's a lost cause. There's no way that he could possibly be effective and used by God. And it's at times like this that God didn't remove himself from the life of Elijah. God didn't come to Elijah and give him a very stern and strong lecture and give him all these things of all he was doing wrong. But God is able to lovingly come alongside of Elijah and remind Elijah what he needs to do. Remind Elijah of his purpose in ministry and why he needs to be committed to God through that. And there is hope found in the life of Elijah as God was able to appear in a still small voice. Now, hope for the Apostle Paul, that was found through the life of Titus, as Titus was able to come alongside Paul and be a tremendous encouragement and a source of comfort to the Apostle Paul. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10 through 13, shows us how God was able to come and visit Elijah. 1 Kings 19 and verse 10, it says, "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thine prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And again, God doesn't leave Elijah in this state of depression, in this state of discouragement. God is able to come alongside of Elijah and remind him about how God can work through his life and work through his ministry to be able to really bring him back to a place where he is able to go and serve God and live for God for the rest of his days. And God wants us to stop seeing things the way that we want to and pray for wisdom that we might be able to look into God's word and find God's truth and see things the way that he wants to. A lot of times, I'm sure from Elijah's viewpoint, the way that he was seeing things, it looked so dark, it looked so discouraging to him that he couldn't really see how he could be used by God. And when he took a step back and when he really saw things from the perspective of God, how God wanted to use him, where God wanted him to go and serve, it just made sense to Elijah to be able to live for God and serve him. Now, God uses Titus in a powerful way to minister grace and comfort in the life of Paul. And we find here just the approach of Titus. So what do you do here if you're Titus to be able to provide encouragement for the Apostle Paul? Well, certainly you're not going to pull out a theology book and read theology from the Apostle to the Apostle Paul, because most of that was probably written by the Apostle Paul. So that strategy is probably out the window. That's probably not going to work. Certainly you're not going to just correct the Apostle Paul on all these things of what he had done wrong and all these mistakes that the Apostle Paul had made. That's not what Paul needed at this time in his life and in his ministry. But Titus is able to come alongside of him. He's able to hear the Apostle Paul, what the Apostle Paul is going through, what his struggles are, his issues, his concerns at the moment. He's able to come alongside of him, to listen to him, to be able to hear him out, and to be able to pray for those things. And really, it seems so simple. It seems like such a simple formula for Titus to be able to just be there, to listen, to be able to pray for him. But what a tremendous source of encouragement that must have been to the Apostle Paul, to know that there was someone else praying for him, to know that there was someone else who was there in the ministry at Corinth, who was serving alongside of him, who wanted to hear the concerns and the cares of this minister of the gospel, and Titus was able to be used in a powerful way. Sometimes other Christians that are really in deep hurt, they're in discouragement or they're in frustration. Sometimes we need to take this approach that Titus had. I'm not necessarily coming down hard on other people, not giving them a lecture, not really chewing them out, but coming alongside of them and saying, hey, let's talk for a little bit. What are some ways I can be praying for you? What are some ways I can help you? What are some ways I can maybe listen to what you're going through, and just so I can be able to pray for you, just so I can invest in you? And that certainly is the approach that Titus wanted to take. And what a privilege to know that God can work through the lives of us to provide comfort to other people. Titus would not have been effective in comforting Paul had he not been filled with God's wisdom and asking God for help and strength to then invest in the life of the Apostle Paul. Titus, like Titus, we need to rely on God's help to comfort others and not our own. And Titus brought a message of encouragement back to the Apostle Paul. It says there in verse 8, it says, For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The church at Corinth, they had gone through and they had read Paul's letter, and it caused a great change in this church. The members repented of their sin. They saw the need to remove others from the church who weren't living for Jesus Christ, who were filled with sin and wickedness and had no business belonging in the church. So now the gospel is really starting to set in. This letter from the Apostle Paul, it's starting to take root in the lives of these believers. They find victory over sin, and they even find ways to be able to purify the church. These believers had a genuine sorrow over sin and the wrongs that they had done before God. And a godly sorrow will lead to repentance, and it's the same view we should have towards sin. We need to ask to repent of our sins and ask forgiveness of our sins to God. Because sin causes a barrier between us and God, it breaks the fellowship that we have between ourselves and God. And it's as if there's a great wall and a barrier between us and God because of the sin that we have done. And without that repentance, without that godly sorrow, we'll still have that barrier in our lives before God. The difference between that we find here between regret and repentance, which are both shown here in this passage, is that regret doesn't really, it's not a genuine repentance. It's not a genuine sorrow over sin. But those who are able to repent, they're able to actually see the wickedness of their sin. They're able to turn from that and able to seek forgiveness from God. For the example of regret, we have Judas. Judas was able to, he betrayed Jesus with the money. He was disgusted by what he had done. And later he regretted that choice that he made. And he was able to, after that, he hanged himself. And then he took his very life. He was regretful of the choice that he had made. But here we have, we also have the example of repentance, and that's found through Peter. Peter openly denied the Lord three times to his face, said that he wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ. He didn't want anything to do with living for Jesus Christ, and he hadn't even been seen by Jesus Christ. But here we find Peter, after he goes through that sin, after he denies Jesus Christ three times, it says that he wept bitterly. His sin and then what he had done wrong, it really caused a change in his life and in his heart to where he was sorrowful over that sin and that wrong choice that he had made by denying Jesus three times. But we find that God was able to still work through the life of Peter. God wasn't done with Peter. God was able to use Peter in a very powerful and effective way to minister the gospel and to be able to preach and to be able to serve others in a very powerful way. So we've seen the encouragement that Paul was able to give. We've seen the encouragement that Titus was able to give. And now we see that the Corinthians encouraged Titus. The Corinthians encouraged Titus. We see this in 2 Corinthians 7, looking down at verse 13, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceeding the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I had boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. So what a wonderful change has taken place because of the comfort of God received through people. Paul is able to go and give encouragement to the church. Titus encourages Paul, but now the church, because of what they have read, because of what they have studied, because of the work of God's grace and help in their lives, the victory over sin that they've had, God's now able to use them to be able to provide help, encouragement, and comfort to others. And Paul is joyful that this church would go out of their way to accept Titus and to bring him into the church at Corinth. You have to be thinking that Titus might be a little shocked at this point. You know, Titus was very familiar probably with the problems and the issues that were taking place at this church at Corinth. You know, what if Titus had failed to bring this message? What would happen if the believers rejected him? And once again, they rejected this message of Paul. What would happen to Titus? Would he fear for his life maybe even? If these believers said, we don't want anything to do with you, we don't want anything to do with this message that you go and deliver. But all this fear, this doubt, and this worry that is in the life of Titus, it's quickly moved away as Titus was refreshed by the members at Corinth. How did this church respond in such a powerful way? Well, they took hold of the vision of Paul, given by God, and they saw the need to encourage and comfort. Are you open to the challenges and commands of God's word? See, God wants to use you in a very powerful way to provide encouragement. He wants to remind you of himself and the ways in which you can come alongside other believers, be a joy to them, and refresh them in the things of God. Paul had a confidence in this church for what God had done, but Paul also looked ahead with boldness concerning the work of the Lord in the church at Corinth. Paul wasn't ashamed of this church in spite of the way that they had treated him and this intense persecution he had, but Paul still trusted in God to do a very powerful work in this church. And that's a blessing just to know that Paul, he didn't give up on this ministry. He saw the good that was taking place. He saw the power of the gospel to be able to change, be able to renew hearts and make them close to God once again. And it's important that all of us as believers of this church that we're confident that God can continue to do the work that he says he will. And sometimes we lose focus of that. Sometimes we lose focus of the confidence that we have in God. Will God continue to work? Will God allow work in my life? Will he work in the lives of his people? Will the gospel still change? Will the gospel still make us so that we can be more renewed about Jesus Christ and the cross? And certainly we need to have this confidence that the Apostle Paul have, as God was able to work through these believers and bring great change and victory. God wants to do that in this church as well. He wants us to hold on to that confidence that God is going to change hearts and change lives through his word. So Paul has a great confidence and joy. Paul knew that his ministry was grounded in the Lord, but Paul also knew that God would bring about repentance through the power of his word. The Holy Spirit was able to deeply transform and change the believers at Corinth, that it always needed to be present in order to bring about change, in order to bring about genuine change and victory. The power of the Holy Spirit needed to be there to be able to convict others of sin and to be able to renew their minds and place them on the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 through 5 says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So as we serve and minister, we must bring ourselves under the power of the Spirit. As we look to teach others, we look to tell others of what God has done to us and for us, it needs to be through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, convicting us of sin, showing us ways in which we can come alongside others, we can provide help, and we can provide encouragement. Paul realized that he had no power to be able to produce any change in the believers at the church at Corinth. And certainly as we want to be effective in the way that we encourage others and help others, it needs to start with us realizing it can't be all about us. We can't produce change in others. We can't help others or encourage others in the way that we really should in our own power and our own strength. But God wants to use us through the power of his Spirit to provide help and strength and encouragement. I want to bring about 3 points of application through this text on how we can be an encouragement to others. Number one is to cultivate friendships. Friendships, again, they can be a great source of joy. They can be a great source of help in our lives. And it's a blessing to have others to go to, just to be able to talk to them, to be able to ask for help or to be able to ask for wisdom. And certainly we need to be asking how God could use us to be able to be a better friend to others and be able to bring friendships into our lives. And the Christian life, as we know from God's word, it's never meant to be lived alone. It's never meant to be lived in your own power. It's never meant to be just you trying to live for God, trying to serve him, trying to get victory over sin. But that's a way in which we can bring about more friendships, bring about others alongside of us to help us and encourage us to be more like Jesus Christ. We should never feel like it's just our own effort, just our own strength, but that we have others to go to be able to ask for help and strength and encouragement. And at times, a lot of times, we can lose our focus. Just like Paul was able to lose his focus through this church at Corinth and his ministry, we too can lose our focus. But it's at those times when we have those friendships, those who are close to us, where we can say, hey, you know, am I really off on this? Am I way off? Am I not seeing things the right way? You know, how can I be seeing things differently? And it's usually those times when those friends that we know of that are close with us, they'll point us back to Jesus Christ, they'll point us back to the cross, and remind us of how we should be living in the way that we should. Number two is to be a friend, simply to be a friend and to show yourself friendly. So what are you currently doing to invest in others and encourage them in the Lord? What are you doing to be able to take time out of your schedule to be able to come alongside of others, show yourself friendly, and be able to encourage and help others? At times, we think of ourselves more than we should. We think of our own spiritual life and our own choices and decisions we have to make through the day. But God wants us to use his power to be able to impact others with the gospel and with the power of his word. I know that God has been able to use me at times to just simply share what I've been learning from the word of God. Simply share, you know, here's what I've been learning through my devotions. Here's what God's been teaching me through reading and through studying. And it's been a blessing to others. But in the same way, I've had others come up to me and say, hey, let me share with you what God is doing in my life. Let me share with you what I'm reading. Let me share with you what I'm studying. And man, it's just been encouragement that has just been at just the right time in my life. And I know that's been true of your life too, where you can think of when the encouragement comes. And sometimes it even, when you think of that encouragement and when it comes, you have to almost step back a little bit and say, hey, that encouragement came right when I needed it. Right when I was going through a very difficult trial or a very difficult time in my life, God brought that person along. They were able to share what they were learning, share the truths of the word, and what a blessing that is. What a joy that is to know that God can use his people to just simply share truth, share the word of God, and be able to encourage and uplift our hearts. And number three, this goes along with the outline of what I was studying, but hopefully it'll be a good reminder for us. Number three is to trust the Titus touch. Trust the Titus touch. Now, Paul could have openly rejected the encouragement of Titus. Paul could have said, you know what, who is this guy Titus? He doesn't know as much as I do. He doesn't know the ministry of Corinth like I do. Who is this person who's coming alongside of me and giving me help and encouragement? Paul instead chose to receive the comfort that was given by Titus. And a lot of times we can get into bad habits of saying, you know, well, I don't really need encouragement from that person, or I don't need encouragement from this person. But allow others to come alongside of you and be able to help you, to encourage you, to really share what God is doing in their lives. And we need to receive that well. We don't need to turn away and say, oh, that's, you know, something I've already heard before, or how could that person possibly help me with that encouragement and that help? But Paul was willing to receive that help, willing to receive that encouragement. And it should be true of our lives, too, that when others help us and encourage us, we're able to say, hey, we can take that encouragement, we can take that help, and know that it's given by God, and we can see how we need to change to become more like Christ. So as we close now, for believers, what is your purpose for ministry? Even though the Apostle Paul needed a change in direction and purpose for his ministry while at Corinth, he was still able to have God change him and have God work in his life through Titus. You know, maybe you're here and you're discouraged in ministry because it's too much about you and it's not about Jesus Christ. We need to pray that our ministry and the spirit in which we do things will be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. It won't be through our own strength, it won't be through our own effort, but all of our ministry is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And are you confident that God will continue his work among the church? You know, maybe you've lost your grip of confidence about what God can do. Trusting in the promises of the work that he said he's going to do in all of our hearts, changing us little by little into the image of Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to ask God to pray that he would fill you with a renewed strength and hope of the confidence that he will change and that he will make a work in the lives of God's people. And certainly as I've read through that and I've studied through that, I've been reminding myself to be confident and hopeful that God will change others. He changed Paul. He changed Titus. He changed that entire church at Corinth because God is faithful, because God was able to work in hearts and in lives. And as we know more about the things of God and as we receive this help and encouragement from others, certainly God wants to use you to encourage others, and God wants to use others to encourage you as well and to be able to point you back to Jesus Christ. Let's pray.